If you love true crime and dark stories, then you'll love our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.
He told them that in the year prior to Bundy's move to Utah, she had discovered objects that she couldn't understand in her house and in Bundy's apartment. These items included crutches and a meat cleaver that was never used for cooking.
Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts.
You know, then this guy gets rich and he has some issues with sexual addiction.
Yeah, and control. Yeah. The Keith Raniere story.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and don't miss a single episode.
In some ways, it starts to make things like Jeffrey Dahmer and that look tame, not in terms of the brutality of what they performed, but in terms of the psychology and manipulation of people.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Available wherever you download podcasts. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a dark lingering presence haunts a woman late at night. Alone in her bed. Who and what does it want?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want all of the extras, the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, the biggest one ever created, we have it and we give it to you when you become an extra podcast person, an EPP. And it's added to every single week with EPP bonus episodes, advanced episodes of the show, all commercial free. You get it over at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get access to all of that. 8 years of content. It's all there. Binge away on it multiple days a week. There is more audio of ghost stories than anywhere else on the planet. So check that out and help keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air. It's Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the show. And what's going on in your world?
Well, not too much.
No, not a whole lot.
But I listened to that intro and I'm like, why can't you save the really scary shit for somebody else? Because we do this before I go to bed. I live by myself.
Oh, yes. Talking about something creepy in the middle of the night, breaking
right,
it. Yeah,
that's going to like be staring at me when I wake up.
Yeah.
And now I've got to go to bed in like 2 hours.
Well, it's all about perspective and how you look at it. See, I played scary music there at the intro and talked about the title of the show and what's going to be going on. But you see, if we just do one simple little thing and we change up the
music,
take a listen to this. It totally changes the whole feel of what might be going on. I got to get the title there. Okay, here we go. So here we go. A dark lingering presence. Come on, play the music. A dark lingering presence haunts a woman late at night alone in her bed. Just who, what does it want? Let's put the ghost to the mic and tell us, what do you want, ghost?
I want to see you.
Yeah.
I want to please you.
Ooh, spooky.
I want to show you, baby.
Oh, yeah.
That I need you.
Wow, wow, wow. There you go. See, it could be scary or it could be Keith Sweat. As a ghost.
I'm crying. I'm laughing so hard. That was funny as shit. Oh, because it turned into like a kind of a pervy.
Oh, completely, like, yes.
Hey, lady, guess who's going to be staring at you tonight?
In the Sweat Motel.
All night long.
I want to tease you. I literally, after I did that intro, that song came to my mind because it was like a dark, lingering presence. And what does it want? And I just thought of the intro to that song and it goes, I want to tease. So I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to grab this song real quick and somehow I'm going to work it into the intro of the show. And you just played perfectly into that.
Oh my God.
Thank you for setting that up.
You're very welcome. I wasn't wasn't planning on that. Oh my God.
There you go.
God, that made me cry. I was laughing. So
anytime you can involve
ghosts. I don't normally listen to these episodes once we do them. But this one, I'm going to.
Your little air check.
Because I got to hear that shit again.
I can't wait for the emails on that one.
You should just know when, like, when there's a story that's getting tense, just throw in some Keith Sweat music. Time.
Oh, it's Keith Sweat time. Yeah.
Carol's getting scared. How you feeling, Carol? Because you're looking fine.
Yeah, you got me twisted over. Yeah, that's how it goes. Yeah. 855-853-4802 to call in your real ghost stories here at the Sweat Line. I think didn't Keith Sweat like host like a slow jam show for a little bit or something where it was like the Sweat Motel, you know, or well,
like he called his place a Sweat Lodge.
Yeah. That just almost sounds kind of creepy, like the Sweat Lodge. It sounds almost
that's
like
that's where we go to get it on.
It almost sounds like you're going to go like do some sort of weird rituals or something there. Like the Sweat Motel sounds a little bit, you know, questionable. It's like Sweat Motel.
Sweat Motel does not sound clean.
No, it's like south side of town. Guess what? We only wash the sheets twice a week. Don't matter
whether
how
they
many
need it or not.
Don't take a black light in the room, honey. Got a black light for you. Oh, what's that on the headboard? Oh, you do what? Oh, turn off that black light, bitch. There we go. 855-853.
I don't even know what to say after that.
4802 is our number. Let's go to, oh, damn it. I got to turn Keith Sweat off so I can turn the spooky music back on. Come on now. Where is, there we go. No more Keith Sweat for the evening. Sorry. Okay. Let's go to our first story of the day. It says, my name's Sarah. I live in Minnesota, and this is my story. Back in October, I noticed strange and unexplainable things happening around me. A tapping sound at my door, shadows in my room. This was only the beginning of a long journey for me. I needed to know more. It was just in my head, or was something more going on? After everything I've uncovered, I believe there are spirits that are trying to communicate with me. I know some of you might not believe in a higher power or spiritual world. Some of you will look for other explanations and seek to derail what I believe is to be evidence, and that's fine. Believe me, I've explored other possibilities and questioned whether this was real. I'm not here to convince anyone or to prove anything. I just want to share my story and what I've been dealing with. Let me start from the beginning. Like many, I sleep with my door closed. One night, however, I noticed a tapping at my door like someone was knocking quietly. Nothing super loud, but it got my attention. I noticed it night after night, so I began to sleep with my door open. One night a couple of weeks before Halloween, I woke up to this dark gray image hovering in front of my face. It completely took my breath away and freaked me out. The image floated up towards the ceiling. It contained a bright green light in the center of the shadow. It was a cloud, different colored light beams moving within it. Then it suddenly disappeared. I was terrified. Next morning, I woke up and told my family what I'd experienced. They did not believe me. So I decided to order some motion cameras on Amazon to see if I could capture anything. I wanted to prove to my family that I was not crazy. I set the cameras up in my room and recorded at night while I slept, and I usually wake up to review the footage from the night before to see if I captured anything. I set up notifications on my phone to alert me when the camera captured motion. For a while, there was nothing unusual, or at least nothing that could not be explained away. Then on October 26th at 6:08 a.m., I received an alert on my phone that the camera had captured something. I was not ready for what I saw. In the footage, a small child appeared in the doorway of the bedroom. It looked as if she was wearing a bonnet or a headpiece, and a dark face turned to look at me as I slept. She did not enter the room, she just watched me. I moved suddenly to pull up the covers, and just as quickly as she appeared, she darted away. I have not seen her since. At the time this footage was recorded, I was the only one at home, and at the time I had no pets. You'll see multiple videos of this figure. I've also zoomed in and you can notice the figure moves up and down. In the second video, you can tell that the figure leans more in the room. I'll admit this completely freaked me out. I was also excited that I captured something, but terrified at the same time. I notified my whole family, and they were in shock as well. You can check out the real evidence and the paranormal investigation And she gives me a website to do that. I created this blog due to all my friends and family having been asking for the footage and the updates on the paranormal investigation. Let's see. Let's see if there's anything here. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, here's the footage. Unexplained figure. I don't see anything. I'm not good at seeing these things. You want to take a shot?
Yeah.
Okay. Here. I'm going to send it to you via Skype. Or do you have Facebook open or anything?
I can. I'm sitting in front of a computer. I can open anything.
Okay. I'm going
to send... I can go to Keith Sweat fan page.
I'm already there.
Oh, wait. There it is. In the chat... Let's see, the unexplainable.
I'm trying to zoom in.
We were talking about this the other night, that sometimes those pictures are like sonogram baby pictures. It's like, what exactly am I saying?
Okay, I see it now. I watched the whole thing and I saw something kind of pop up into the frame and it's just very, I see where she gets bonnet, but it's odd.
Yeah, because like there's video two.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of see it. There's just clips of it.
It's hard to say what exactly it is.
Well, there's sound effects. Can you hear them?
No, I didn't hear the sound effects.
They're in my ears. So I can hear them. Okay. Sorry if they're not.
Is there anything creepy?
I'm going to look at the next one. Because okay. There's several videos. You can kind of see. Yeah. It looks like a hoodie. It looks like a kid in a hoodie.
I'm hearing some weird...
Like, it looks more like a floating hoodie.
Do you hear the CVP? This is one. This is weird.
Yeah.
I'm hearing the CVP. Got to make your mind up. It's like the beat going out in the background, too. I wonder if there's any more in here. Let's see. Cut it close. Help me out. Okay.
I think that's what he said. Play one more time.
That's a good EVP. Yeah.
You know,
girl, you got me twisted. I love Keith Sweat. I do. It's on my playlist. Continue on.
You know, like, it's interesting because all of those videos, like, you see it, but it's not really moving or anything. It looks like...
It's there. It's just, it kind of, like, comes into frame and then it just is still. It almost kind of looks like a camera video distortion or, I don't know. And it doesn't go away either. The video just ends. I don't know. I mean, there's obviously a story here of, you know, she had these bizarre experiences and then captured that. Whether or not the video capture has anything to do with it, I cannot say definitively because it doesn't necessarily look like it could be something.
I mean, you could probably share that on your Facebook page or your website.
People are asking. I'll just say paranormal-activities.com is her website, I guess, that says what. You got to put the dash in there to check it out. But yeah, I mean, you guys be the judge. I believe her story that she's had those experiences. It's just, you know, infrared or night vision on these things can be very difficult. I get where she gets hoodie out of it, but it just looks like it's so stagnant.
And, you know, that's one of those things that, I mean, in a way I get why you would want to put the motion sensor cameras in, but in a way I would never want to do that. Like,
yeah,
I don't know that I really want to know.
Sure.
You know?
I got my house wired, and I have motion sensor cameras everywhere, inside, outside. And I kind of look at them for fun sometimes. I especially like to look at the middle of the night ones in the yard to see what comes up, because it all goes. I think I got the Ring ones, and it's not an ad for Ring, but it just goes to like a cloud, and then you can watch them forever.
Oh yeah.
And it's kind of neat. Sometimes you find an animal or something. I found nothing large, big, or you know. Amazing other than like a squirrel here and there. But I'm hoping to find, you know, like a bobcat or something someday.
Well, and you probably can find them pretty easily, I would think.
I would think, although everything's fenced in now, so maybe that'll cut back on that. There's neighbor's dogs that roam the everywhere around here too, so you never know what you're gonna who's gonna be over here. Let's go and listen to a phone call 855-853-4802 as I try and load it here quickly and talk with my lips tightly closed. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hey there. My name is Connor. Calling from, well, Chicago, Illinois. I actually had an incident at a job site that I was working at a couple of years ago that my father and I actually both witnessed, that spanned actually a couple of days, really. The biggest thing that really kind of came from it was we were working on the basement and kind of doing some renovations. We were actually going to flip this house that the owner was actually a hoarder of sorts. So we were taking items out and, you know, throwing them in a very large garbage bin. And throughout the entire time, you know, we were finding things and like, oh, this is really cool. and there was this really foul odor throughout the entire house. And we just kind of chalked it up to, okay, you know, it's mold, you know, whatever. And as we were kind of tossing some stuff, we were, you know, all in the basement, and we had one of the door or the front door open just in case, you know, our boss wanted to swing by and see how we were doing. Heard a couple of footsteps upstairs, and, you know, okay, well, that's, you know, that's him. That's our boss checking in. So we called up to him, got no answer. Went upstairs and no one was there. And they came directly from the front door. And so I kind of stepped outside to see if anyone had, you know, walked the other direction. And there was actually a gentleman out there who was picking up some kind of scrap metal. And we asked him, you know, hey, did you come inside by chance? I know we had the music on, so we may not have heard you. And he said, oh, no, there's no way I'm coming inside that house. And we were like, okay, you know, whatever. So, you know, we go back down into the basement. We're still working, all that kind of fun stuff. And my father had actually made the joke of, you know, oh, you never know what you're going to find, I guess, whenever you open one of these closets. You may find like a dead body. And the woman that we were working with kind of paused and looked over at us and said, wait, do you guys not know? And we were like, well, what are you talking about? And she said, well, the homeowner actually died in the master bedroom, and they didn't find her for weeks. And so we were kind of put back by it a little bit. And we were like, you know, oh, okay. So we kept working on the house. And, you know, as we actually started the demolition portion of the entire, you know, interior of the home, we were actually moving some items from the guest bed and the master bed out of the house as we, you know, ripped up the carpet and ripped up the tack strips. And I personally went into the guest bed when my father was behind me walking up the stairs, and I lifted or attempted to lift a rather heavy trash can that was full of stuff. I went to go pick it up and I winced, and then I heard my dad say, you know, hey, Con, you got this? And, you know, I responded back, yeah, absolutely. And then didn't hear anything after that. And so I, you know, crouched down and I grabbed the trash can, picked it up, and then started walking down the stairs. And my dad walked to the front door, and I almost dropped the trash can that was full of stuff. And my dad, you know, asked me like, hey, are you okay? You look really pale. And I said, no, I'm fine. Were you upstairs? And he said, no, your mom called. I was outside by the trash bin out there. Why? What's going on? And I said, no, Dad, you were upstairs with me you were upstairs in the master bed, and you said something to me. You asked if I was okay. And he said, Connor, I was never up there. I walked up, got the phone call, and went back down. And I said, okay, I need to go outside and take a couple minutes. kind of get my bearings back. And I proceeded, you know, to walk outside, catch my breath, everything like that, came back inside. And I just yelled and I said, I'm working here. You know, we're making this place a better home. You have no right to, you know, try and stop that. And after that, I mean, I guess in hindsight, I kind of messed up by yelling at it and kind of threatening it. But it became kind of transparent that there were, we believe, more than one entity in that home, because some things would be kind of nice to where we placed a little figurine on the mailbox outside of the home. And every morning we would come in and we eventually found out what the homeowner's name was. And we named that doll after the homeowner. And so we, you know, said good morning to it and asked, you know, can we come inside and kind of work for a little bit? And then when we went inside, it felt different. It felt good. Like it felt like, you know, like a normal day. But on the days that, you know, we would, you know, just be hustling, bustling and, you know, we would forget to, you know, say good morning or say hello to it or to the doll, we would go inside. And there was actually one incident specifically where I was actually at the house myself. And I was working on the crown molding in the dining room. And I was removing that, and they were removing drywall from both the dining room and the kitchen because we were planning on, you know, knocking down the wall to open it up, make it look a little bit nicer. And I had, you know, taken some drywall in the kitchen, and then I about
and
where I then started working on the crown molding. I was using a step stool at the time, and as I got up onto the step stool and I, you know, put the, there's a little tool you can kind of pry out nails with and small trim, and so I was using that, and as soon as I went to go hit the hit my hammer into the little tool, I noticed that the step stool that I was working on was a little wobbly, and so I said, all right, forget it. Folded it up, put it just on the other side of the wall there into the kitchen, and grabbed a small ladder, and then set that up, went back into the other room, into the dining room, and put the tool back in there, and then I struck my hammer against the tool and heard a very loud crash in the other room in the kitchen. And so I said, you know, I kind of thought to myself, holy crap, I'm by myself here. And I just probably knocked down some drywall, and I'm praying that it didn't land on a gas line or a water line. And so I was kind of freaking out. And so I stepped down and went around into the kitchen area, and I didn't see any drywall on the ground. But the step stool that I was using was about 6 feet against the other wall, and I don't know how it got there. And I immediately started kind of freaking out. The entire time we were working in this home, we've heard multiple voices, multiple footsteps. It was an incredible experience. And my father actually now, believes in ghosts. Previously he hasn't, and whenever I would kind of bring it up and he would kind of joke about it, but now he blatantly says that he is a firm believer in entities, whether it be dark or normal spirits, what have you. Now we have the running joke of that whenever something kind of goes awry around where I live now or at my parents' house, we call out the homeowner's name and say, okay, that's not appropriate. It's fine. We'll just, whatever. and then it'll stop. My fiance will go onto my Xbox and she'll turn it on to go watch, you know, Netflix or something of that nature, and it'll shut off. And she'll go to turn it back on, and then it'll shut off. And then she'll call me and say, hey, so-and-so is messing with me. Can you please talk to her? And I'll say, absolutely, you know, put me on speakerphone, because me, my fiance is terrified of speaking to the entity. And so I'll get on speakerphone and I'll say, hey, you know, would you mind please letting my fiance kind of, you know, she can play on the Xbox. It's fine. You know, she can do what she wants with the Xbox. That's totally fine. Just let her kind of do what she wants. There's no worries. And then I'll just say, okay, you know, go ahead and try it. And she'll walk over to the Xbox and turn it on, and it'll turn on perfectly fine. Same thing kind of happens every now and again with, like, light fixtures and stuff like that. But figured I'd kind of share this story with you. Whether you want to, you know, throw it up on there or not, no worries. I talk about this all the time as, you know, kind of a fun gag thing. But at the same time, these are 110% truthful experiences that have honestly changed my life forever. All right. Well, love listening to your guys' show. And, yeah, hope to potentially hear from you. All right. Bye-bye now.
Thanks for sharing that experience with us. That would be so bizarre. I mean, I believe this is what he's going through, but put me on speakerphone and you're talking to the ghost and now you can watch whatever you want on the Xbox.
So the ghost then went home with him.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't sound like the ghost is really scary.
No, it's just kind of there and just kind of wants the interaction, it seems like. It kind of does little things here and there, like, okay, tell me to stop and I'll stop. Almost like a kid trying to get attention.
So can a ghost be in two places?
That's like, a good question. Not?
I mean, could the ghost still be haunting that house and then have gone home too? Or can it do both?
There's a lot of different theories on that idea. One that I recently, Todd has presented on the show, he's usually on Mondays, he calls it splattering, where he views it like once we're dead, our energy just kind of splatters, you know, then you splatter, you know, jello or something, it's going to go to all different places all around wherever it's splattered, like a ripple effect. And that energy, it's still you, but one can be over here, one can be over there. Both can be very good reflections of you, but could almost also be simultaneously having conscious relations and effects with whoever it may be around at that time. And we've heard that before, and it's puzzling because it makes you go, oh, how is it doing it like that? That's what he calls it. I think he coined the phrase, but he's talked about that quite a bit from some of the investigations that he's done of that sort of phenomenon happening. And it's a really easy way of kind of wrapping your mind around the idea.
I mean, that makes some sense.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it kind of makes you want to go back to the house and go, hey, is it haunted?
Yeah.
Still?
Are you still there? Yeah, it's...
Just checking. Or do you want me to drop you off here? Because that's cool, too.
Just let me know. Either way, we're all good.
But I love the idea of talking to it, you know? I just do it all the time. I don't even think my house is haunted.
Yeah.
I talk to something, which could just be kind of crazy.
Yeah.
There's Carol talking to herself again.
And the murder she shed. There she is walking around the yard with the crutch. It's kind of weird. She doesn't need it, but she's somehow every night at 7:30 drawn to go in circles in the backyard with the crutch, yelling for Mabel. We don't know what's going on. She has no recollection of it when we ask her about it, but I got it on my Ring video door cam.
It's like Ambien.
That shit's going online.
It's like, is it a ghost or is it Ambien?
Ghost or Ambien? That'd be a great game to play where we read a story and one of them is an Ambien story and one of them's a ghost story.
Yeah.
Ghost or Ambien?
Did you really walk 2 miles? Was it a ghost? Or was it Ambien?
It's like a modern take on the Fact or Fiction, Believe It or Not show from the late 90s. Like that one. Ghost or Ambien. That's great. 855-853-4802. Let's do one more quick call here. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hey, guys. My name is Ryan. I just been listening to your podcast for a little bit. And I really enjoy it. All the banter that you guys do back and forth is probably the funniest that I have heard on any show ever. So it's awesome. I just got done listening to your show, your episode you did about the do-it-yourself bronzer. Tony, if you remember that, I was laughing so hard. I was driving. I had to pull over. I was crying. I was laughing so hard about the raccoon paw, if you remember. So the story I've got, and I kind of wanted your take on this. I've had some stuff over the years. 2020 is going to be 5 years. I lost my mom. I had a lot of happenings when up to her passing and after her passing for about 2 months. There's been a lot of questions throughout the episodes that I've heard that involve somebody passing that's close to you. I feel that everybody is a lot more noticeable and susceptible to people close to them, feeling them, seeing them, that kind of thing, up to and after, you know, right after their passing, up to a few months. The crazy thing is I'm a believer, obviously, and I've had a lot of things that have happened over the years. But the one thing that I haven't had happen is a random, like somebody showing up in an apartment or a house or something to that effect. And I seem to have something that shows itself to my son, and my girl can feel it, and it's kind of weird. What's something that you guys would take from that? Like, I've looked at the history. It's a brand new apartment complex. It's about 5 years old. No deaths in the house, nothing like that. I mean, what do you guys, what's your first thought here? Just was curious, wanted to share that. So thank you. Appreciate your show. Keep it up. I'm going to be sure to listen in the future. Thanks.
My first thoughts on it are it has nothing to do with the property. It's everything to do with you. If you're feeling those things but maybe not seeing them, they're there, and your son is able to pick up on it even better than you can. So he's probably seeing the same things that you're feeling is my right. guess. Yeah.
Agreed. I agree with that.
So,
because I think that, you know, there's just sometimes you get that feeling you don't see anything, mm-hmm. but you know, the hair kind of stands up on the back of your neck, and yeah. it's just not quite right. And I think some people think the encounters have to be like, you know, Casper the ghost just walked out or something, you know, it's mm-hmm. like they're actually, you know, it's got to be something you see or something moves in front of you, but it's not always like that.
No. Sometimes it is those subtle things that you kind of got to pick up on. And if he has the ability to sense it, it's not going to be uncommon then for his son to have that same sort of ability, if not even stronger. So, and he's a kid. Sometimes, you know, kids have a stronger sense at a younger age than they do when they get older. So that'd be my take on that. I completely forgot about, he was listening to a really old episode, the bronzing of a raccoon paw. Did I ever tell you that one?
I don't know what the hell he was talking about.
I don't
about.
Know what it was. There was, because it was, we did it so long ago. But I think it was something to the effect of somehow the idea of something being bronzed came up. And I just on a whim, I thought, I'm going to prank call a hardware store right now and see if they have any sort of product that you can DIY bronze an item at home. And I called and I was like, I got a raccoon here. You know, we just found him in the backyard. I don't know exactly what I said, but you know, he was kind of a friend of the family. We called him Chipper. We really want to keep him around. I'm wondering, you know, my Uncle Larry, years ago, he bought a product there where he could bronze things at home. Do you got a DIY bronze animal kit anywhere there? And I swear to God, they were like, oh, it's not quite my department. Let me transfer to paint. And then I get to paint and I do the same spiel. Like, well, that's I think I've heard of a product like that. And you said it's specifically for animals. Yeah, it's for any sort of varmint that you want to preserve for memories and years to come. Yeah, I think, I'm going to transfer you over to hardware. It might be, and I kept getting transferred, and everybody was like legitimately trying to think, is there a product that allows you to bronze varmints for safekeeping on your mantle for years to come? And yeah, I wish I could tell you what episode that was. I had made a prank call to anyone in probably 15, 20 years on the air. And it was just as fun as it was back then. I kind of miss that.
Funny shit.
It was like shit I used to do, and you know, when I was like 16, 17 on rock radio, and it was like, let's just have a little fun here today. Maybe we'll do another prank call sometime soon, just for the hell of it. I've had so many people bring that up over the last year or so. That is going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, help keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person. You sign up to do that at ghostpodcast.com or Patreon. Same stuff there too. Patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories. $5 a month gets you signed up. All the bonus content, advanced content, the largest archive of audio of ghost stories in history. You get it all. Check it out and help keep us on the air. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.